David, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Good, I'm very well. The truth in my mind is that I'd rather listen to the music. It's beautiful.
What a thing to say. It is nice, hey? That's Natan Goshen. Hikiti was waiting. I think it's absolutely a beautiful, beautiful song. But you know what, Dov? You won.
We've got time for both, right? We can make room for both.
Exactly. So nice to hear you on a clear line for a change. You've been traveling, so you're back in New York now, I presume?
Yes, that's right. Back in New York, and I was just reminded, and I think even last week I was back in New York. So the sun is out. It's gorgeous. It's a grand day here in New York City.
Absolutely wonderful. Ex-Israeli defense minister has said it's immoral to ignore the Palestinian Authority pay for slave scheme. Tell us about that.
Well, it should be a no-brainer for a long time now. The Palestinian Authority has been rewarding with financial rewards convicted terrorists on a sliding scale based on how many Israelis they've actually been successful in killing. It's an absolute sham. It's a disgrace. It's a moral stain on the countries that are providing these funds. So you have European countries, American countries, that are providing funds to the PA. And they've, in the past, kind of turned a blind eye to this. And frankly, even Israel has turned a blind eye and sort of allowed it to happen quietly while kind of using the banner of propping up the Palestinian Authority as the justification, because you know, they don't want the Palestinian Authority to be taken over by somebody more radical.
Don't you think...
But lately, a new bill in Congress called the Taylor Force Act, which is named after an American student who was stabbed to death at the Jaffa port in a terror attack, is calling this bill is calling on the U.S. government to withhold funds from the Palestinian Authority until it stops these payments. And there's been a back and forth between various Israeli officials as to whether this is the right decision, and the senior military officials, including Moshe Yaalon, leading the charge, former Israeli defense minister, former IDF chief of staff, have said that this is absolutely the right approach and it's immoral to be ignoring these payments.
What I don't understand...
Sorry for the long-windedness. I wanted to give you all a...
No, I think the background is very important. What I don't understand is we've often, and in the past certainly, and I think it has changed, we've always said that Israel... is it the worst PR, does its own worst PR, public relations. And I actually think this is one of those cases. Surely, I would like to see a poster that says that has the value, that says if a Palestinian terrorist kills one Israeli, this is what the Palestinian Authority awards them. If they kill two, etc., etc. Don't you think that would be a powerful tool to change the perception of the world? Because right now, the perception is very, very much that this is an act of pure desperation, and it's that there's almost a justification for terror. Once you put a monetary value, and in fact, you know, we have a terrible history here in South Africa of colonialism, and many, many years ago, you were allowed, when you got a hunting license, you were allowed to kill this amount of lions, this amount of elephants, and actually it's what they called at the time bushmen. You could kill one of or two of those too. And when you see that and you realize the horror of that, it gives you a very different perspective. Why wouldn't Israel have done that? And there we go. You see, clearly such a difficult question. We got, unfortunately, we've just got cut off from David Effion. He's, Hilton's going to get him back for us in a moment. David, are you back with us?
I'm here.
Oh,
yes,
there we go.
I'm here,
that was
I'm
easy.
Here.
All right. I'm not sure if you heard the end part of my question.
No, I did. And it's a very, very good question. And I think it's a real shame and a moral stain that it hasn't been highlighted until now. But the fact is, that this is an institutional part of Palestinian society. It's enshrined in Palestinian law. There is a government office, the Ministry of Prisoner Affairs, that is dedicated to dealing with this. It's a very significant percentage of the Palestinian budget. It's hundreds of millions of dollars that are being assigned to this. And it's unfortunate that it's been swept under the rug because, you know, the big argument has been that, well, the alternative is even worse. But the truth is that it's a great sham that this has been accepted. And it's a very good thing that it's seeing the light of day now. And those that are pushing it should absolutely not back down. The best part of this is that the U.S. administration has now taken this up. And it's really underlining the duplicitous nature of the Palestinian leadership, who out of one mouth, one side of the mouth, talk the language of peace to foreign leaders, but to their own populace, to their own population, and in Arabic, they are speaking the language of war, and they have never stopped speaking the language of war. Of course, that speaks to the darkest fears of all Israelis in terms of making any concessions. And until there are changes in this area, I don't think there's any chance that any sort of peace discussions can go forward.
We got a sense that, we know that when Abbas met Trump some weeks ago, this issue was discussed, and he undertook to stop funding the funding terror, and then things have kind of fallen apart. We know that Jared Kushner's meeting with them wasn't particularly successful. Do you think a lot of it centers around this issue?
Well, I think the new administration is beginning to learn how the Palestinian Authority operates. It is not a transparent, truthful, above board entity. I mean, it's the way that they conduct themselves is underhanded and false in so many different ways. And I think they're beginning to discover this now. They were given sort of indications that they would address the issue, but that was obviously very clearly not the intent from the beginning. They're continuing to go about this at full pace with these terror payments, and they have no intention of halting them or limiting them. The best that they might offer is some kind of restructuring arrangement where the funds are then channeled through some third-party NGOs that are essentially still controlled by the Palestinian Authority. But these type of games, shouldn't make any difference to the crux over here, and that is that the leadership of the Palestinian entity are funding, supporting with the full force of the entire governmental entity that exists, the killing of innocent Israelis. Absolutely. And Americans and others.
And
Brits. There was a British girl who was killed recently.
Well, it's clear that the terrorist doesn't ask for a passport. They just do what they set out to do. Global Anti-Financial Crime Agency, I'm not even going to give you the abbreviation of that one, keeps Iran on the economic blacklist.
Yes, that was a very largely ignored but very important story that emerged late last week about this global agency that monitors international banking, who made it very clear that it's still not prepared to put Iran onto its whitelist because of its, even though the Iran deal has been signed and Iran has made certain commitments and kept certain commitments under that deal, its other activities, its a pursuit of ballistic missile technology, its financing and funding and support for terrorism across the globe, make it very clear what Iran's intentions are and where it stands. And this intergovernmental agency is making very clear that it does not yet see Iran as a safe environment for foreign investments as a result of its nefarious activities around the world that it has not only let up, but expanded on.
Do we know, obviously Trump is keeping a very close eye on Iran, but one of his campaign promises was to do away with the agreement that was reached. Has there been any move on that?
Well, at the moment, there hasn't been any move on actually doing away with it, but what has happened, and I think this is quite significant, and also largely ignored accomplishment of the first 100 days of the administration, is that the balance of power has shifted. You know, when we interviewed Israel's ambassador or America's ambassador to Israel, David Freeman, a couple of days before the election last November, we asked him what the administration's policy would be on Iran, and he said that the policy would be to reintroduce leverage on the Islamic Republic. And the Trump administration has very effectively reintroduced leverage to the point where, you know, during the Obama days, the Iranians were acting as if Obama needed this deal, America needed the deal a lot more than Iran. And they kept threatening to walk away from the deal, and they kept adding new requirements and requests of the United States government, to the point where John Kerry was even visiting European banks and trying to drum up business for the Iranians. At this point, by disparaging the deal, by publicly announcing its dissatisfaction with the deal, the Trump administration has really reintroduced leverage, and we see now that the Iranians have suddenly become very protective of the deal. They've been, you know, speaking about how the U.S. can't walk away from it, even if it wants to, and how it's enshrined in international law. And certainly they have had no new and increased demand. So I think it's certainly a good first step, but there's a heck of a lot more that needs to be done at this point to get the Iranians in check. And I still think that there are initiatives that are being reviewed. And in order to actually stop the nuclear deal, there's a lot further action that's going to need to be taken, possibly military action.
Undoubtedly.